Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 192 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. Back on the show this week is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And Happy New Year, Ben. I know wish you that already in the real world, the real internet world, and not just on the podcast, 19 days into the new year, but your first appearance on this year's show, the 2017 season. I think this is our fifth season now.
Wow, I've been going for a while now.
Time flies. Yeah. So
it lasted longer than some sitcoms, especially some Seth MacFarlane ones.
That's right, and perhaps not as long as some others that should have finished a little bit sooner, but nevertheless, hopefully we will continue to provide people with excellent content of the basketball video gaming variety for years to come. That's certainly our intention. Kenny is sitting this week out. We hope to have him back on again soon, of course, to have the three-man booth, but for this week it is just you and I, as it has been for close to 200 shows now, I guess. This is episode number 192. A lot of shows under our belt, and that's just the numbered shows, I believe, not including the specials.
That's a mighty fine effort.
It's a lot of hours, sometimes to the early hours of the morning. usually at a more reasonable hour, but nevertheless, here we are again to talk about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games, primarily basketball video games, of course. And we're going to tip off this week's show with some interesting news, I guess, about NBA 2K18. Now, very early in the year, obviously, not a lot of details on NBA 2K18 itself as what it's going to entail. Of course, if you do have any suggestions, get those in ASAP in our wishlist thread in the forum. We really need to get it in by the end of January for noteworthy features, I guess, to be added. And if you get it in too late, there's not really, you know, it's a case of next year maybe, but certainly put that in the wishlist thread as soon as possible. We'll continue to send those details along to the people we know at Visual Concepts. But one thing we do know about NBA 2K18, Ben, is that it will be released on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, it was formally announced it actually debuted in a little teaser trailer in that a little while back, within back in October or something, November I think it was. And I wasn't too sure if that was 2K17 at the time.
I mean, it might have been 2K17
gameplay.
Just as a teaser of what was could be expected on the system. But yes, the 2K18 is coming. 2K and the community reps also tweeted that out and made that announcement. So this is something that with the Nintendo Switch, you know, we don't really cover Nintendo that much, I guess, and we do keep our content really basketball game centric, obviously, but we do mention these things from time to time, and the Nintendo Switch is expected to have a bigger amount of third-party support compared to the Wii U. If you remember, Ben, NBA 2K13 came out on the Wii U, and that was it. There was no further 2K games on the Wii U after that.
Yeah, and I think a similar case with EA doing, you know, testing the market with FIFA and that on the Switch. So, you know, both companies obviously will be, I think the first year would be a tentative sort of thing and just sort of see whether the interest is there. Obviously, given what happened with the Wii U and that, so it'd be good, I guess, for those who do decide to invest in a Switch in that, if all the console gets support at least for a few more years in that, for third parties before they decide what they're going to do. If they're going to continue ahead with it, like instead of just doing maybe like a one and done, maybe at least do two or three, given, you know, just to sort of see if the market share is there for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and this is something I touched upon in my Monday tip-off this week. Would I Nintendo Switch? Hope everyone enjoyed the pun. I certainly did. talking about whether I would be interested in getting the Nintendo Switch. And obviously I wrote it because it's topical, naturally, but also because of 2K18 being announced, you know, there is some relevance to basketball gaming. Now, I've already got the PlayStation 4, I've got my gaming PC, I've got 2K17 on both platforms, as I've mentioned a few times before, so I'm pretty much set for my gaming platforms at the moment. As I said in the article, I kind of miss not being able to play some of the great Mario and Zelda games that have come along in recent years. There's actually a couple of Donkey Kong Country games that have come out on the Wii and Wii U. It's a shame because I love Donkey Kong Country back on the Super Nintendo. So it is, I hate missing out on those games, but they're not enough compared to all the other games I'm interested in to invest in the Switch, either instead of the PS4 or in addition to it, not in my budget. That said, I did enter the contest to win it, because I'll take a free one, for sure. You know, who wouldn't take a free one? But something I did mention, and we discussed this, because you watched the presentation and as well, I believe, about the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and as you noted in our conversation, as I noted in the article, it's the Switch is not expected to be quite as powerful as the PS4 and the Xbox One. So it remains to be seen how the NBA 2K18 experience is going to be scaled down, cut back at all, if at all, on Nintendo Switch. And to that extent, and also the fact that maybe it does get dropped after a year or two, it may not be the best investment if basketball gaming is your priority. But it is good news that if you are interested in other things on the Switch, and if you've already been sold on getting a Switch for other reasons, which I imagine is more likely, you actually looks like you will have that basketball gaming experience available to you, and probably the best mobile or on the go experience, I should say, as far as actually having full mobile gameplay, a portable gameplay for a basketball game. I mean, of course, you've got the card games, and you do have the mobile version of 2K17, but you know, playing it on a phone is just not ideal. I don't think I've got the phone version of the Android version of NBA Jam, and it's okay, but it's not. You can't compare to the consoles and having a controller in your hands. So, in that respect, the Switch version might be better, possibly. But and also the smaller fan base. I mean, the user base, because we already are a niche community, basketball gaming. So who's to say that there's going to be a lot of people to play online with? You know, sometimes we have a problem. We have trouble getting a 2K Pro Am game on PS4, which has got the biggest user base of the two consoles. And bigger than PC as well, in basketball gaming anyway, by a number of users. So, you know, is it going to be a great online experience there? It's great that it's happening and that it's a viable option, but I definitely wouldn't make the console a priority if basketball gaming is the priority.
No. I think with Nintendo, it's still majority of the first-party stuff. That would be the selling point for it. And yeah, I think in regards to potentially how the game could possibly be considered, it might be sort of just a fraction bit better than, say, like the last gen ports. Like, that's probably realistically what to, I suppose, expect for the Switch version.
I mean, I suppose if the other features are the same, and I mean, if there's the graphics are inferior, but if the other features are the same, that's still pretty good. I mean, I know graphics are big these days, and since getting my new gaming PC and the PS4, I do find myself more interested in quality graphics than ever before. I must admit that I'm starting to become that guy. I was always, oh, graphics don't count, you know, or graphics aren't everything, it's all about gameplay. And I still do believe gameplay and game modes are more important, but suddenly I do find myself wanting to max things out and experience things as best I can. But
yeah, and I can understand that, especially given we're like a transitioning phase from 1080p to 4K resolution and stuff like that.
Yes,
you know, it's maybe not. Well, it's a far larger jump than what was considered like 720p to 1080p kind of thing. So, for a lot of people, it didn't make the transition wasn't as big. Obviously, for a lot of gamers and that. But since now it's like four times the resolution, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. And you know, if people are making the investment in like the TVs or monitors and stuff like that, then yeah. I can see that why the appetite would be changing for a lot of people in that sort of sense in priority of what they're looking for in gaming entertainment.
But you know, if the graphics are okay and still pretty good somewhere between last gen and this gen, and all the features are there and the controls are good, I think it will still do okay. Again, will it sell enough to justify further releases on the platform? I don't know. So again, if basketball gaming is your priority or one of your priorities, I still think that PC, PS4, Xbox One, that's where the best experience is going to be, and where, you know, you should probably look to invest if basketball gaming is a big thing. But again, yeah, if you're already sold on the Switch because you want to get Mario and Zelda and the first party stuff and the other releases for the Switch, you know, Breath of the Wild looks pretty cool with the new Zelda game.
Mario Odyssey later this year.
Yeah, I mean, so if you want, if you're already sold on that stuff and want to get the Switch, but you're also interested in basketball gaming, it's there, going to be there as an option. So it's good news in that respect, but I do have my concerns as far as it's, how stable, how viable it's really going to be in the long term for basketball gaming. But we'll see. Like, I, you know, and that's only a reflection of looking at it from the perspective of our community of basketball gamers. You know, I'm not trying to hate on Nintendo or the Switch for it's the other things that it's probably going to do very well and be successful at. But from our perspective with basketball gaming, it's probably not going to be the number one option. But it hasn't been for a while. I guess it really hasn't been since even sort of the 64-bit era, because it was PlayStation, because they had the optical media, of course, and Nintendo 64 was still on cartridges. That's when a lot of these sports games started to get a lot better on PlayStation and the other disc-based systems.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think really what Nintendo has for it is that sense of, in the case of the Switch, is that portability. Now, if you are purely looking for something, if you have to commute a lot, even though, yeah, okay, the battery life probably could be a little bit better on the device than that. But, you know, it's a good alternate, you know, if you don't like the traditional mobile, but still want something of, sort of between the console and mobile format, then, yeah, that's... It works for you in that sense, so...
Not quite as stripped down as some of the other portable games over the years, so... We'll certainly cover that as the as details emerge on the Switch. I'm not getting one unless I win one, so I won't be able to give any personal impressions of one, I imagine. I think you're in the same boat as not really looking to get one, so... Yeah. Not much, I guess, we can say personally when it comes out, but we'll post and pass along any news and comment on anything that we see, of course. But in the meantime... promising news, I guess. We'll see where it takes us.
For sure. And I do hope that's, you know, multi-gear support as opposed to a single year like we're having with the Wii U.
Absolutely. So speaking of multi-year plans and comebacks, NBA Live is kind of in the news this week. A few people have posted some details and we've put up a bulletin ourselves. We've actually passed our prediction point at this point for news, Ben. We did say it was going to be mid-January. It's still kind of mid-January, but probably by the time we get news, it's concrete news and confirmation is going to be late January, early Feb. But we do actually have some kind of news, certainly rumors going around about NBA Live at the moment, posted in the forum. And a shout-out to RJ Hunter and ZZ Cool J for some of the heads-up on what's being posted around the web. I know Trapswish... tweeted out a teaser image, I believe, is also before that was tweeted out by Prime76. So quite a few people in the NBA Live Society, in the online basketball gaming community, been sharing this. So shout out to all you guys for the heads up. But there's a translated document going around, a game classification decision for EA Korea, referring to the drive to NBA Live, which is on both Xbox One and PS4. Further information refers to it as a sports simulation game and the latest demo for the NBA Live series. So it's looking like something's in the pipeline, Ben.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of in that, sounding like it's in that theory that, you know, it might be a demo for this year cycle, and then obviously when Live 18 be coming out, probably the full game. That's what it's sounding like at this stage, so...
And it does, and it seems like there won't be a Live 17, but the drive to NBA Live, kind of a teaser. As you said, Kenny and I were talking about it on the show last week and reiterated that speculation. It definitely does seem a distinct possibility. We don't want to report it as fact until EA makes some kind of announcement, but seeing these teaser images for the drive to NBA Live, the fact that it's getting classifications, getting ready to push something through... it seems like it's going to be some kind of demo or stripped-down digital release that's going to preview what they've been working on for NBA Live, and presumably a full release later in the year. They keep talking about the future plans when people ask them about it on Twitter, and that seems like a fairly good option. I can see some people being disappointed by it, but the fact that they are bringing something out, and if it impresses, and if it's... affordable, people don't have to put out a lot of money to play this demonstration, whatever, you know, however big the demo may be, it's a viable strategy to rebuild some of that trust with the fan base, and hopefully preview some really good tech.
Yeah, you know, in a good alternative just for something a little bit different for, you know, for game modes and stuff like that, and yeah, just something that feels a little different in that sense instead of something that has felt the same for a little bit of time. So yeah, just a small subtle change. I'm hoping that does come out strong, and that, you know, that there has been that amount of work that we've really been anticipating to be put on it, in terms of what the full game would look like. Obviously, what will happen with, obviously, what's looking like with Alive 18, but, you know, something that's substantial, and whether, you know, we'll find out if it's officially gone to Frostbite engine this year, or if it's, it'll be all for Live, the 17 demo, or the Road to NBA Live sort of demo, or whether it be in full Live 18 sort of thing. So yeah, there's a lot of anticipation to sort of see what they've done and what the plans are. So yeah,
and definitely there have been whispers about it going to the Frostbite engine. We know that other EA titles have and are going to the Frostbite engine, so it seems quite possible, likely even, that EA will be doing the same thing with NBA Live. We won't report that as fact, certainly, until we can get confirmation that it's fact, but that is a rumor that's going around now. We have acknowledged that before, of course. I want to see a full, fully featured NBA Live again. You know, I want to see roster editing. I want to see a deep Dynasty mode, deep Rising Star, more stuff in Ultimate Team. I'd love to see All-Star Weekend back. You know, we've gone through all that stuff that we'd love to see, and certainly want to see that in NBA Live 18. But if the drive to NBA Live, if this is what it's going to be, it kind of reminds me of the Prelude. I guess it's like a very early version of what 2K did with the Prelude. I mean, that was right before 2K17 came out. This is a much advanced preview, presumably, if that's indeed what it is. But if it impresses and it shows me that the gameplay is up to scratch and they've got some really good stuff going with the animations and the controls and everything, then I feel a lot better about Live 18, because I say, well, okay, now they can spend the next 6 months or whatever putting everything into game modes, because the gameplay's in pretty good shape. You know, they've worked on this gameplay. Now they can really focus on the modes. So, yeah, it's kind of got me optimistic, and I think it's... there's risk in the strategy, of course, but I think it also makes sense and that it could instill goodwill without forcing them to... to put out a lot of money on it, basically.
Yeah. One thing I'd hope would be interested to see whether they go with this demo route is, and if they implement like a couple of gameplay tweaks or improvements, the sort of thing with, you know, just sort of testing the user community base and all that stuff, whether something that they're trying to do, you know, whether they try for a little bit, get feedback for like, just say, a month or so, and then, you know, tweak and all that stuff. And so that way, you know, the game and that will evolve and upon community feedback. So that way, you know, by the time it comes to that Live 18 release, it's like, okay, this is where we're at with all the tuning and stuff from what we've worked with and what we've gained from the community. So yeah, that way it minimizes the potential post-release patch support in a lot of ways that, you know, there won't need to be like, say, 7 or 8 patches in like a few months. So that's what I kind of hope would be a good benefit in that sense, that they use the time now, so that way when the full Live 18 comes out, that, you know, it's got that balance that the community's happy with and the developers are happy with in that sense. So yeah,
no, I agree, and ideally you want the drive to NBA Live to be pretty solid and maybe get a couple of patches and get better, but it was certainly with that feedback, you know, we can say perhaps, hopefully, you're on the right track, but here's a couple of things that need to be added, but then most of it can go into fleshing out the experience. I would imagine there'll be some kind of game modes, maybe a playoffs mode, maybe a single season mode, you know, not the full Dynasty experience, but just a single season. That wouldn't be a bad idea for a stripped-down digital-only release, maybe season and playoffs, and... I suppose you could probably do an Ultimate Team, but even maybe Ultimate Team and Pro-Am, for example, and say, hey, this is, you know, an experience of the single player. Oh, and I guess a head-to-head, you know, just NBA games exhibition. So it's an exhibition,
Ultimate Team. And a practice mode.
So you can shoot around, Exhibition Games, Ultimate Team, and Pro-Am, you know, that would be pretty good for a demonstration. And certainly if you could level up your player and to a certain point and then take that over to NBA Live 18, as in the prelude with 2K17 later in the year when Live 18 comes out, that would be another good approach too. I can see them doing that because you remember the Live 16 demo in 2015, you could level up your player to a certain point in that as well and then take it over to the full game if you purchase the full game. Yeah. So that's I think that would be pretty good for the demo. I could be a pretty sound strategy. Obviously, come the full release, Live 18, you do need that deep dynasty, roster editing, rising star, deeper ultimate team, even more in stuff in Pro-Am, customization, sliders, all that stuff. But if they can show off something good and give people something to play with the drive to NBA Live, and impresses with the gameplay and the animations and everything, they could be setting themselves up for a pretty good run come Live 18. If they can also then get, on top of that, further tweaks to the gameplay, as you said, and stuff with the rest of the modes. And roster editing, of course, once again, can't leave it out and can't stress it enough how much we want that back. But yeah, it's a risky strategy, and they've taken several risks, some of which have paid off more than others in the past few years, but no, I think it's getting something out in quarter one, as they promised. Quarter one of 2017. And it would be a pretty good idea if it's anything like we've been speculating, at least. And fingers crossed that we get some news soon and that it does turn out well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Ultimately, I would love if we heard something this weekend, but probably realistically in the next 2 weekends, I reckon.
Oh, well, probably tomorrow now that we're talking about it on the show tonight.
Yeah.
We know how that goes. But it didn't happen last week, so we didn't force it out. Something around the All-Star weekend, I guess. Maybe this comes out sometime in February, March, and it's something that carries people through to the playoffs and through the off-season, perhaps. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. It is looking like it's going to be some kind of demo, stripped-down digital release rather than a fully-fledged game. A fully-fledged game probably wasn't going to get... it wasn't going to be feasible and probably wasn't going to get the market share anyway. So if they can get people's attention with what they're doing now and then come back with a really strong release in the fall, that's a good... that's a potentially good strategy, and I definitely hope it works out for them, as I said.
Yeah, me too.
So that's about all we have without speculating further. If you've listened to the show, you know what we want out of the game. Shoelace physics, naturally. got to mention that every show. But that's about all we have for the NBA Live news in that respect. We do have some modding news this week. Just want to touch on very quickly. Obviously, our 2K modding community is doing some great work. You can check out all the latest releases in the NBA 2K17 section of the forum. But a different kind of 2K17 mod, NBA Jam 2K17... It's a modification for the Super Nintendo version of NBA Jam Tournament Edition, one of my favorite arcade basketball games, for PC and Super Nintendo as it happens, and it basically adds 2017 rosters updated as of the 1st of January this year. It's got 117 current players, and this is by Millertime 2325 in the forum. It's got... some legends. He's added Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant to the game. Of course, other players like Scottie Pippen, Reggie Miller, and more. Some graphical tweaks and updates. Roster, you know, all the ratings and everything updated as of the season. And some secret players, including Harambe. So, I believe he overrides the Phoenix Suns gorilla, who was a secret player in the original NBA Jam Tournament Edition. So. That's a creative use of the gorilla texture in the game. So you can download that modified ROM and use it with an emulator to play with. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet. Looking to get a video review out. Millertime very kindly said that he would be happy if I do a review of that. So definitely want to promote the work, because he's been working on it for a couple of years now, Ben. There's a couple of demo versions of earlier roster updates that he's done. Kotaku picked it up, so it's great to see. Always great to see modding get some mainstream attention. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that Miller Time. He is at. I guess I can call you Ethan since you're on the your name's on your blog where you can download the file. Of course, you can check the main page and the forum for the download link. But Ethan is actually a cancer survivor, and he's actually going to be running the Boston Marathon in April, and is asking if anyone does want to support his work, in lieu of any tips or anything, to make a donation to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. There's also a link on his blog to his challenge page for the marathon. Obviously, a great cause. You know, I think we've all known somebody who's related to somebody who knows somebody who's been affected by cancer, if not ourselves. Obviously, a terrible thing, and congratulations and hats off to Ethan as a cancer survivor and for doing this this great work. But we'll just do want to plug his the challenge that he's doing and the donations if you feel like making a donation. But yeah, it's a great cause and certainly a great mod, Ben.
Yeah, for sure. And given the fact that he says he's been working hard on it for the last few years and in amongst recovering and treatment for his cancer and that, so yeah, good luck to him and hope he does well in the marathon.
Absolutely. So keep us posted, Ethan, and thank you again for sharing the work with the forum. I will because as I say, Tournament Edition is my favorite version of NBA Jam. Ooh, it's right up there with On Fire Edition. As far as the classic versions go, it's definitely my favorite Tournament Edition. Hang Time's close. And the original, of course, but Tournament Edition is always going to be special to me. So great to see it for that particular version. Looking forward to playing with it. And I'll get my my thoughts, my review out there and further push that mod. And once again, if you can afford to donate, certainly shoot through some money because it is a fantastic cause. Now, Ben, we've actually decided not to do our week in basketball gaming this week because we had a few great games of 2K Pro-Am. And then we had a lot of games that didn't go so well.
No.
Some very frustrating games, as frustrated as I've been in quite some time. There's always some profanity thrown around in amongst the Simpsons quotes. Speaking of Simpsons quotes, shout out to Dr. Zaius on Facebook. Familiar with our work, and of course he's they're doing some great things with that page. In fact, all the Aussie run Simpsons pages on Facebook are pretty hilarious, Ben. I think we both.
Oh yeah. Certainly.
Tobias memes coming out a lot at the moment. But shout out to Dr. Zaius for all the work you do and the classic Simpsons clips. It was kind of cool to be recognized, I guess, when I commented on a post. It's a small internet, Ben. Who knew?
Yeah. So, well, yeah, it's like what happened when I was like at an underwear store, and yeah.
you were the show's recognized. It's cool. The show and the site, of course. I mean, we've been around for quite some time, naturally, but yeah, it's always heartwarming. So thank you for the kind words, and so I had to give you a bit of a shout-out as well. But yes, we are the NLSC Thrill Ho, the Simpsons reference, of course, but in between making Simpsons references, we do have a bit to say when things go awry, and things really went awry this week. One really good thing did happen, though, is we somehow became elite. Despite not having anywhere near a winning record, we did get to Elite Tier 1, which means your fantastic jerseys and logos are in the game finally. Finally, we've got some NLC branding in there, and it feels fantastic. That part feels fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, jerseys still aren't perfect yet because it's still one of the just original sort of templates in that. But yeah, I'll be working on a custom design. But it's got the logos. It's got the colors and all that stuff, obviously, for the moment. So it's halfway there in terms of the uniform. But the court and that feels more like home in that sense.
Definitely.
So, yeah, and getting to be able to do a few of the things that we've wanted to do for it. It's felt good to finally get to that. But yeah, it's been a rough week in terms of maintaining the elite tier, and that's a
Well, that's the thing we found out. We got elite rather randomly. We found out, and then you went ahead and put all those jerseys in and everything. But then we started to see a lot more teams with similar records to ours, with an elite with the elite badge and the elite level, and we started to wonder whether they've just flicked the switch, so to speak, and pushed through an update that's made everyone elite, or whether they've dropped one of the updates has dropped the conditions to get elite, because we're seeing a lot more elite teams, or maybe that's because we're in the elite tier, we're just getting matched up with them. But But again, we saw another team that was under 500 at the elite tier that that we had played before, because we do see some of the same teams on the Australian server, obviously, fairly often. So, yeah, we wondered whether everyone was becoming elite, but then we found out you can lose elite status with a couple of losses, which which frustrated us some. You don't lose the branding. The branding fortunately stays. So we're leaving that alone until we kind of get established to elite again. We don't want to mess things Jesus. Around and then and then go to change something and then lose all the customization. So we definitely don't want to do that. But yeah, apparently, Ben, we can lose elite status and go back to pro.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of jokingly made reference to that, like, I think last week while we're playing, just like before it happened,
that'll never happen.
Yeah, it turns out it's like, oh, crap, it can. But it was interesting to see that, and I think it was on the night when we sort of saw two update require moments.
Yeah,
in one night.
Yeah.
So
we wondered. We did wonder.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were just trying to put two and two together, whether that was the reasoning and the desire just in that second update, that, you know, to flip the switch, as you put it. It's been interesting how we're putting it all together and all that stuff. But it's been good to actually get the proper NLSC branding now, to have our logo on the courts and all that stuff now. And that more feels like a proper team in that sort of sense that we were going for. Hopefully we can regain that elite tier. But I did find the interesting thing with it is being a team owner and hitting elite tier one, we couldn't actually unlock the team celebration stuff in
Pro-Am.
So,
what's up?
So that was kind of weird. It was like, but I am, and like, you get a little message saying, you know, you have to be elite tier one and team owner. I'm like, but I am, and we are.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully we can figure that one out, or if we need a, you know, when they flipped the switch, it was only like a dimmer switch, and
it's just allowed people a bit more customization. You know, if they have done that, you know, we've, as much as we do enjoy the game, we are also critical of it. But it is important, you know, I talked about this in the Monday tip-off article a couple of weeks ago. It is important that we celebrate basketball video games. And when something's good, that we do say, it's good and we're having fun, whatever. If they have made that decision to kind of switch people to elite so that they can edit things and use the logo import because maybe they were finding people weren't getting there quick enough or whatever, you know, that's a good job by 2K. Definitely a good decision. We appreciate it. Hopefully in 2K18 it won't be an issue at all, as we've said. Not to make it a backhanded compliment or anything, but certainly, you know, that's something we're very interested in, a change that we're very invested in seeing them back in 2K18.
It's one of those things that sort of made 2K16 a little bit better and or more fun in that sense, and especially given the way that they were selling it and all that stuff in terms of the mode and that last year.
The immediate customization, as we said before, much, much better idea. Hopefully they go back to that or scale it back. I mean, I would, if you got to pro, and because we got to pro fairly quickly, so if you get to pro and start importing, I mean, fair enough if you got to play a few games and get past the amateur level, because I can see a lot of people just jumping on straight away and doing stupid crap. So, you know, win 5 or 10 games, get to the pro level and do it. I wouldn't mind that, but the elite, because it's been so up and down, but, you know, here we are, or there we were, at least. So, no, it's been good to have that, but, yeah, man, we've had some frustrating games. We had Leo on, we had the four of us playing, X has been on for a couple, a lot of it's been you, Kenny, and I, and...
We had that one where I was kicked out in the first quarter.
not even the first quarter's done, and you know, less than a minute left, and you're out. And then it didn't get much better for Kenny and I the rest of the way. I am up to averaging a double-double now. 10 points and 10 assists. Nice. So that is nice. That was my goal. So if nothing else, we got to elite and I got to a double-double.
And I've had a few more double-doubles now. I think I've had three more in the last couple of weeks than that. So
Kenny came so close to a triple-double, got screwed. Kenny's close to getting 50-40-80, actually, shooting 50-40-80.
Dang.
Just a couple of points shade below 50% from the field. About, I think it's about 42-43% from 3-point range and about 84-85 from free throw. I'm up to about 86 now. that's the free throw shooting has gotten so much better since A, we were able to upgrade free throw shooting in my career, and B, they fixed that damn camera bug because that screwed us over so much.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's amazing when you can actually see the basket, how many free throws you can hit.
Well, and the shot meter element to it as well.
I mean, Michael Jordan made them with his eyes closed. So if you want to be elite, I guess you do have to make free throws without seeing the shot meter, without seeing the guide or even the basket.
But that's the elite tier three.
Man, maybe then we can get some celebrations. But yeah, no, it's. I guess we did end up talking about our week in basketball gaming a little bit, but we don't really want to go into the details. Just know that it's been some really frustrating games where we've. I mean, I'll always take some responsibility for, you know, when we make bad decisions or whatever, but we felt we really got screwed over by some of the games. Very frustrating sessions. Yet we kept getting on every night.
Except for last night and tonight, really. This is really the first times we haven't played in like a couple of days. So.
Pretty much, yeah. So we were playing, had those rough sessions. Maybe need to take a bit of a break and then come back to it maybe over the weekend perhaps or early next week. But yeah, we at least achieved a couple of goals. Got to customize the jerseys and courts once again. Great job on those. Great to see your branding in there, the arcane touch.
Yeah, it's also good to see the LSE branding on it as well. Just makes it all official and legit in that sort of sense. So,
and
yeah.
Lefthos, the Monologue God banner, is up there. Once we get back to Elite Tier and we know that we can edit things without losing anything, we can probably put a Disco Stew and Thrill Ho banner on there. You know, we've got some ideas there. So I do hope that when people see it, they get the reference and they enjoy it. I mean, obviously a lot of Simpsons fans around, but...
We should actually post screenshots on to that.
On Dr. Zayas?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose we could probably share some. get some good ones. But we might return to it with, you know, next week we'll talk about our week in basketball gaming. This week we're just a little bit too bummed, I think, to go into too much more detail about... Just know that profanities were uttered at the screen. And no controls were thrown, but...
You were kicking a chair or something though the other night. I heard that.
I was kicking out. I was like, yeah, that's as frustrated as I've gotten in a while. I'm like, yeah, I need to take a break from this because you get invested. It's just a game, for crying out loud. It's a video game, yeah. but you do get invested in this sport and it's competitive and man.
Yeah, and I think I described it as like the frustration of the input that you're putting wasn't getting reflected in the output.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, yeah, well, we'll not dwell on it. We'll hopefully have some better sessions coming up. We always seem to bounce back and rally and actually enjoy the game again to some extent. And we've always got my career and the other modes, which we'll talk about in, I guess, next week in basketball gaming.
Yeah. Not so much on the pro-am topic, but, you know, just the week in gaming sort of thing.
Sure.
I've been continuing a little bit more in my career element.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And I got about 10 games left in this regular season now.
Nice.
And in regards to something that Kenny had mentioned a few weeks back, well, basically really a few months back, in, you know, that moment where you have to select wisely and that.
Oh, yes.
I got up to that moment. I chose the different route that Kenny did in that.
Okay.
Mind you, I kind of figured like when the moment came, it was like, I sort of did verify with him and sort of just started a discussion with him about it, and I was like, "All right, let's see what happens here." So I kind of did cheat or engage insight in terms of not getting overly spoiled in terms of what happened then, but just sort of engaged in. Asked what happened in his experience from what he did and what in the route that he took and that. So it gave me time to reflect on what I was going to do. I was pretty much leaning the way I was going to anyway, just to sort of see what happens in that. So,
right.
But yeah.
So you got me intrigued because I'm at the All-Star weekend at the moment. I'm about to just go through All-Star weekend. So I've got a bit of a ways to go to actually get to hashtag the decision, I guess.
Actually, you're not too far away from it. I'll say that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's closer than you think, I think. I'll put it that way.
Vic Van Lee doesn't come back, does he? Because I know my decision. If that's the case.
So the game suddenly becomes WWE.
Yeah, a bit of a crossover.
But
trying to link the two together. You have to swapping discs in and out. See if that works.
well, Disney Pixar just confirmed that all their movies are linked into the same universe, so who knows?
Didn't we know that from the pizza truck?
Yeah, well, I think they just officially
Pizza truck.
confirmed it today.
Oh, okay. It's just now an official
Yeah,
confirmation.
I think it was like regarded as a fan theory, but yeah, from what I saw on Facebook earlier, it looks like it's just been confirmed today.
Man, Pixar. I don't think we've mentioned Pixar yet in the show. But by the way, Ben also went to a Bullets game recently, the Brisbane Bullets. So there's our NBL reference for the week.
Yeah, actually, I've gone to a few in the last few weeks, including one for my birthday, Hollywood seats and stuff. And then I think there was New Year's Eve, and then yeah, just the one the other day, and one on this Saturday. It looks like I'm going to as well.
So, just going through my checklist here. 2K News, Live News, Simpsons reference, Pixar reference, NBL reference. I think we're good. I think we've.
Although you haven't done a Fallout and I haven't done the Last of Us reference.
There we go.
Yeah,
Podcast never changes. So wrapping things up, what anything else about my career that you can say without giving away massive spoilers? To me, at least. I mean,
okay.
I'm guessing other people already got there, but I'm dragging my feet as I split my time around with other modes, yeah.
I'm getting ever so closely to averaging a triple double the entire season. I'm at 31.2 or 31.5 something points a game now. I'll just double check that. I did have my screen up beforehand, but I turned off just before we started. I'm at 9.8 assists and 9.6 rebounds a
Oof.
game, 3 steals a game, and 1.4 blocks a game.
Very nice. I got my sixth or seventh triple quadruple double the other day.
Nice,
Um,
nice.
so I think on the season I'm averaging about 23 points, 7 rebounds, 6 steals. Get a lot of steals, man. I wish I could get them in Pro Am too.
Oh, no way. Yeah,
And
I've had.
I'm starting to get them, actually. I had 4 steals in the game the other night, so it's starting to happen. So we'll see. That elite badge, it's all about the elite badge, apparently. And 16 assists, so decent numbers across the board, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I beat your record as well. I've got about 42, 43 wins in a row, I think, now.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself for not focusing as much as I should have on that game, and yeah, and yeah, just but admit, like, even still, when I did foul out, I did have a pretty good lead, so the team just did kind of collapse without me, so it's kind of disappointing because it was from
MVP.
memory. Yeah, from memory, it was more than 12-point lead from when I was kicked out, and there was only a few minutes left. So,
We all get cranky when we don't have our juice, so it's
yeah.
that'd be why.
And finally, regards to that, in regards to the award races and stuff like that, I just overtook LeBron about 2 games ago now for Defensive Player of the Year. Obviously, number one slot for at this stage for MVP, but yeah, he was just ahead of me. Actually, I've climbed from fourth to first in a matter of just a couple of games. So,
Same thing happened with me, actually, and it was LeBron that I leapfrogged as well for the number one spot. So that so I guess it's yeah, I guess it's the same game, same sim engine. So, but
yeah.
I mean, it's fun. It doesn't always work out the same way, but yeah, it's I'm the same sort of heading for those awards. So we're having some pretty good rookie years, I think, the
Yeah.
two of us. And I know Kenny had a great one as well, and he's of course finished his first seasons. Yeah, I guess for not talking about our week in basketball gaming, that was our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
And we're going to wrap up episode number 192 of the NLC podcast with some fantastic news. We've already talked about some positive news with the Nintendo Switch and NBA 2K18, the rumors regarding NBA Live, the drive to NBA Live, but this may have made our year, Ben. Nike, of course, as we've mentioned before, we're very happy about this. We're both Nike fanboys, unashamedly. Not too big on Adidas, especially after what they did to Derrick Rose's knees. No proven link, but still. So Nike's taking over the jersey, the uniform contract. Next season, is it 2017-2018?
Yep, that's right. So this is Adidas's final season, which is thankfully nearly close to an end.
And the fantastic news, apart from simply being, you know, Nike jerseys, the Nike branding, I should say, is that Nike is not bringing back sleeve jerseys. And thank whoever, thank whatever, you know, thank you Nike, I guess, for putting an end to that awful, awful experiment that never really caught on, but they pushed down our throats with more and more sleeve jerseys. Very few of them I liked. You know, there was a couple I'd say, at best, generously, that's not too bad. That's not a ringing endorsement. That's not too bad is never a ringing endorsement. But they're getting rid of them, not bringing them back. It's going to be an Adidas concept that's being scrapped. I mean, hats off for trying something new. Never tell people not to try things and experiment, but with concepts and artistically and whatever. But I think it should have been canned after that first season. They pushed and pushed. It's not worked. It's been awful. I thought they were never going to go away after the Cavs came back from 3-1 down and won in Game 7 wearing their damn sleeve jerseys. And I thought that was going to be, you know, cement them forever. But no, Nike is going to get rid of them. Fantastic news. The only thing we've got to worry about now is gaudy advertising. Hopefully that's tasteful. But yeah, sleeve jerseys, they're going. Hooray!
Pop the champagne.
Yeah.
And in all seriousness, yeah, I'm so glad that they're gone. But from what I understand with regards to the advertising element, I think on the Swingmans and replicas and that, even to a degree, some of the authentics, you'll be able to get without the advertising on them. So when you actually purchase it, it won't have it on it. From my understanding, that was the arrangement in the contract.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. I think you can buy an authentic one that does have it. But, yeah, I think they are selling options that don't have it, which is will help clean things up. But yeah, it's still kind of sucks seeing them on the actual game jerseys.
That's what I was going to say. Is that, I mean, it's bad enough for the apparel, but I figured they were going to do something with that. But yeah, that's going to be my main concern is that they're going to be on the jerseys, in the actual jerseys in games. I know other sports to do it here in Australia and whatnot, and football, that is association football, soccer. I know the branding's on there as well, but I've always liked that the NBA's kept it out.
Same.
But
the only one I really see acceptable is the manufacturer's mark on it. I think that's really the only one that needs. I think Adidas, even though they didn't officially have it, it wasn't in their agreement, and that they still kind of exploited it with, obviously, the over-branding three stripes that you saw on all the warm-up gear and even on the All-Star Game uniforms and that. So they kind of had a loophole around where they kind of exploited it still. But
I mean, that's fair. They got the contract for years and everything, but yeah. So hopefully it's not too garish. We'll see. But yeah, no more sleeves. That's, I guess, the main thing. And if there's one other thing I'd like to see with the jerseys, I'd actually kind of like to see some of the 90s style designs come back.
Same.
And sort of more differentiation. With a lot of teams going retro, I think they've gone a bit too far back with some of the 70s and 80s designs. The Jazz, for example, I think are a bit outdated. I think they've gone back a bit too far, and they've gotten rid of some of the really great unique looks we had in the 90s and even the early 2000s as well. But yeah, so fingers crossed that the teams come up with some nice new branding as well, but they'll be doing it without sleeves, and that is the main thing.
Yeah.
Can't say it enough, can't stress how happy we are about it.
And from memory, I think Nike are showcasing their stuff to retailers and that in this week or next week. So hopefully there'll be a whole media PR thing about that, and we'll publicly get to sort of see what their first year iteration. It probably won't really be until sort of second, third year where we'll start seeing a lot of changes in that. And in terms of, you know, the technology that Nike wants to bring into it, I think when the contract was officially announced, Adam Silver stated that, you know, Nike are looking at introducing technology that will monitor the players' heart rates in the actual material and stuff like that. So they'll kind of be technology into the actual woven into the material. And
that's
that,
pretty cool. That's next gen. That's what that is.
Yeah. So things like that is probably when that will come in. It was same like that with ADAS and the whole Revolution 30. You know, that took a few years before that actually came into play because they were doing a lot of product testing beforehand. Like you sort of saw incarnations of it during like All Star Weekend. Like, remember when they had that really skin tight sort of jersey, and then you see Dwight Howard wearing like the skin tight sort of version during the dunk contest and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that was the sort of first iterations of it, and obviously testing, sort of seeing and fitting it in a game like situation. So before they went in their final option. So yeah, I think that's what will happen in terms of that. But first year, there'll be a couple of teams that will be making changes. I think the Thunder are one of them who have been working with Nike already the last year or so, or since the announcement really about a rebrand. And I think Portland is possibly one of them, especially being Nike being an Oregon-based company. You know, and especially the way like the Oregon Ducks and all that stuff get a lot of special treatment with being like the alma mater school
kind of thing.
So yeah, we'll see what happens with them, and yeah, what Nike will actually do with it. Whether they, if you notice with a lot of the college stuff, the uniform is like around the collars and trim and all and that stuff. It's kind of more looking like running shirt, or even like what the USA team wore during the Olympics. It kind of looks more like a running singlet as opposed to a basketball jersey kind of thing. Whether they go that route. But mind you, I guess because that was for Rio, and Rio was very hot, so they kept it very cool, very light in that sort of sense. So we'll sort of see where they go with their technology and that in years to come.
As long as they don't have sleeves and short shorts, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So good news all around this week, basically. The games, not so much the games we've played, I guess, in Pro-Am, but upcoming news, pretty good news on both fronts with the 2K and Live, and good news on the jerseys. It's good news, everyone, basically, to do the Futurama reference for this week. No, not going to, at this late hour of the evening, try to do a Farnsworth, but it is indeed good news, everyone. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 192 of the NLSC podcast. As always, we hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed getting together and chatting about our favorite topics. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher if you want to listen to us on your Android or iOS device on the go. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/NLSC, on Twitter, @NLSC, and of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And stay tuned for Ion Springfield.